NPR has been exploring the issue of poverty 50 years after President Lyndon B. Johnson declared a national war on it. Our arts reporter, Netta Ulaby, takes a look at one of the very few jobs where poverty is romanticized.
It's seen as somehow ennobling to be poor, if you're a Franciscan friar or an artist. That's from a recent production of La Boheme, put on by the Pacific Opera Project in Los Angeles. It's run by Josh Shaw, who says its story of starving artists hits a little close to home.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I practically have nothing in my bank account.
Shaw says almost everyone in his company works multiple jobs. Waiting tables, teaching music, writing for little publications. Their lives are not too different from the artsy bohemians in Puccini's opera.
And it just kind of hit us, like, man, why don't we just produce this?
But how is its story of suffering romantically for art's sake faring in an age of rising income inequality?
Tell them you'll get tuberculosis in a garret if you have to.
In the HBO series Girls, young faux bohemians subsidize their Brooklyn rents with handouts from their parents. Playwright and performer Mike Albo loves Girls, even though it bears little resemblance to the vision of fabulous poverty he aspired to decades ago.
I moved to the city thinking like, oh, but I'm like Patti Smith. I'll just sleep on a mattress and, you know, eat one potato.
But Albo says his romance with artistic poverty is dead.
Let's see, today I have $280 in my bank account, and then I'm going to the dentist. And so I've got to pay that off on my credit card. My credit card limit is $600. I have $300 on my credit card, so I think I can pay my dental bill. That is the plate spinning that I'm doing to live in New York right now.
And that is why a new generation of artists would never dream of a glamorously poor existence almost anywhere, much less in the capital of the art world.
I mean, it's sort of impossible. Like, New York, I mean, you can't live poor there, and to live poor there is really sad.
Bianca Diaz lives in Pilsen. That's a Mexican-American neighborhood in Chicago that's also been, for years, an artist's enclave. It was actually founded more than a century ago by bohemians, the real ones from Czechoslovakia. Diaz graduated last year from the Rhode Island School of Design, where she says her classmates showed zero interest in living in garrets and eating ramen noodles.
Yeah, I really don't feel like people are sort of glamorizing poverty as much.
She says they're more interested in glamorous technology. A YouTube channel might be today's equivalent of a raw loft space on Avenue B. Musician Stefan Brackett sees a deeper problem than the rising costs of life in cities, and that's how artists are viewed broadly.
We're not laborers. We're not working.
All kinds of Puritan projections are put on jobs like his, he says, that are fundamentally about creating visions, not pulling paychecks.
Because we are living this kind of dreamed-upon lifestyle, I think there's kind of like a passion tax.
Brackett is an MC with a group called the Flowbots. They try to redress what they see as the general devaluation of the arts by bringing music education to public schools in Denver.
Look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive in such a small world. I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine.
Arts education is itself impoverished, even though study after study points to its importance in a post-industrial global economy. One year after Lyndon B. Johnson started the war on poverty, he approved the National Endowment for the Arts that supports artists and arts education. Its current budget, says visual artist William Pauhida, is about $146 million.
And that's for everything from dance to theater, including the visual arts.
Just compare that, he says, to today's private art market. On Tuesday night, in one single auction, wealthy collectors bought almost $1 billion in contemporary art at Christie's in New York.
If you had like a 2% tax on just the auctions in New York, you could probably double the NEA budget in two nights.
Critics might call that wealth redistribution. Pauhida finds it strange and not a little cruel that art is one of the most excessive markers of income inequality, even as artists tend to be among the least well-paid workers in the art industry. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.